Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Small Steps for Better Health podcast series, where we are talking about small, sustainable ways you can improve your health. If you've been following along, we've been talking about small ways you can improve your nutrition, your exercise, your movement, your stress, your sleep, and then, of course, preventive care. Today, we are going to talk about one part of preventive care, which is heart screenings. I'm joined today by Dr. Barry Bertolet. Dr. Bertolet, thank you so much for your time today and your expertise. Would you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, and thank you for the opportunity for being here today with all of you. I'm Barry Bertolet. I'm a cardiologist. I've been here in Tupelo for 27 years. I've been part of Cardiology Associates of North Mississippi and on staff at North Mississippi Medical Center for that time period, and am actively involved in prevention of heart disease, in treatment of heart failure, in putting stents in folks. And maybe some of you that are listening have put a stent in.
Probably so.
And we appreciate you being here.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So let's set the stage and talk about why heart screening is important in our area. What does heart disease look like in North Mississippi?
It is very interesting when we look, the Center of Disease Control has issued a heat map looking at the incidence of cardiovascular disease and the impact of that, meaning that who has a stroke, who has heart attack, and it is the hottest area is North Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And so if someone were to have a heart attack, if they were to die of a heart attack, if they were to have a stroke anywhere in the United States, it's more likely to be in our region than anywhere else. And I think that's really the big impact. So if we look broadly across at Mississippians, we're seeing that roughly about 40% of Mississippians will die because of a cardiovascular disease. Mm. And so that's if you take car accidents, you know, all cancers combined, any other illness, 40% of all deaths are going to be related to cardiovascular disease.
Wow.
And with that kind of prevalence, that's why we have to pay attention to this disease process here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally, if this was an epidemic, we would be ground zero.
Right.
And so because we know that, we need to start as a community paying more attention to detection of cardiovascular diseases and then prevention of them so that we don't have these bad events.
Right. So before we really dive into heart screening, I want to talk about something you mentioned before we started recording. You told me that there are four things people can do that drastically reduce their risk. Will you tell us what those are?
Yeah, it's very interesting when we look at studies that have been done, and a lot of times people think, oh, if I'm going to have to do prevention of all this, I'm going to have to make substantial changes. It's going to cost a lot of money. Big things have to happen. But very interestingly, we saw that if we did four things, if we controlled our cholesterol, if we controlled our blood pressure, if we quit smoking, and if we achieved a normal weight, we could reduce cardiovascular illnesses by 85%, which would be huge for our state.
Absolutely. So I think a lot of people think that cardiovascular disease is really dependent on genetics. Can you talk about that just a little bit? Because I think we try to sort of push the blame off a little bit. You know, it's not the choices I'm making. It's, my dad had a heart attack. His dad had a heart attack, so I'm going to. What do you think about that?
So genetics do play a big role.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of the cardiac risk calculators do not include family history, and
okay,
I believe that to be a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cardiac risk calculator that is out called MESA, M-E-S-A.
Okay.
And I actually like that one because it does include calcium scoring, and mm-hmm, it also includes family history. So unfortunately, if dad had a heart attack at 35 and granddaddy mm-hmm had a heart attack at 35, you better be prepared.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that won't be prevented, but that certainly shows you're high risk and you may need to take more precautions than someone else.
So those four things could be even more important for you.
Exactly. Okay. And then one of those four things we mentioned about cholesterol. So I do see that cholesterol is a big genetic issue.
Okay.
And one of the big genetic issues is the low HDL.
Okay.
And a lot of times people will look at a total cholesterol level only, and mm-hmm. they'll say, oh, my total cholesterol is 190. I'm so okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay.
Okay.
You really need to have the breakdown. So if you have a low, good cholesterol level, that's actually twice as bad as having a high, bad cholesterol level.
Interesting.
And so what we see genetics, and we are in one of those pockets where mm-hmm. we see a lot of low HDL.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there's not a great way to raise your HDL. And so unfortunately, exercise or any kind of dietary changes do not make meaningful impacts in the HDL level that we can say will prevent those heart attacks or mm-hmm. stroke. However, if we believe that a good, healthy LDL to HDL ratio would be less than 2-1, meaning that your LDL should be no higher than your HDL by a full factor of 2.
Mm-hmm.
So if your HDL is 20, then your LDL needs to be 40.
Okay.
And so people need to pay attention to those, and mm-hmm. so you really have to know your numbers. And your number doesn't have to be your total cholesterol. It needs to be all the factors.
Gotcha. What about the blood pressure numbers you were mentioning earlier?
So blood pressure also is one of those things that can be familial, meaning running in a family. And doctors like to use a fancy word called essential hypertension, which means it just runs in the family.
Okay.
So there's not a secondary cause that we can find. So we do know that that's a big factor there. We know that in our African-American population, that's a bigger factor. And sometimes people will look at the lower blood pressure number, the diastolic blood pressure number, and they will call their doctor and say, my blood pressure is running too low, and they will even on their own stop some blood pressure medication. Mm. But the diastolic blood pressure, as we get older, becomes a less accurate reflection of what's going on in our bodies internally.
Okay.
To the point where if somebody has high blood pressure, we want to prevent stroke, we
right.
want to prevent heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the top number, particularly as we get older
mm-hmm.
And above the age of 50. So I tell my patients really just focus on the top number.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom number will somewhat track with that if you're a younger population. But if your top number is above 130, then we want to start making modifications.
Okay.
That doesn't always mean medications.
Okay.
But it may be lifestyle modifications.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe let's pay attention to how much salt that you have in your diet. Maybe eat less salty foods mm-hmm. or drink less salty drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a little bit of weight loss. Maybe that's participating in an exercise program like walking
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis. Those are simple things that a person can do to really modify their blood pressure.
Okay.
The thing that I believe is really important is that as people get these gastric sleeves
mm-hmm.
and then people are using drugs like Wegovy
mm-hmm.
And Zepbound for weight reduction, we can see that as they lose their weight, there can be substantial reductions in their blood pressures.
Okay.
Meaning that oftentimes they can come off of several blood pressure medicines.
Right.
So it really reinforces in a very dramatic way the power of just some simple weight loss.
Right. Okay, well, let's get into heart screenings. So just start by telling us, what is a heart screening? What does it entail?
We oftentimes are concerned about coronary artery disease,
mm-hmm.
so blockage in your heart arteries,
okay.
so that's what that means. And that seems to be a primary driver of what will subsequently cause abnormal heartbeats, heart failure, heart attacks, having chest discomfort we call angina. And the heart may also be a nice window to what else is happening in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do see that there's plaque in the heart arteries, we may see that same plaque to be in your brain, in your legs,
mm-hmm.
in your kidneys. And so if we treat vascular disease in one area of your body, we're treating vascular disease throughout the body. And so if I find plaque in your heart, me treating that plaque is helping everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of our heart screening, we like to do our three tests. or we like to do an EKG. So an EKG looks at the rhythm or the electrical system of the heart. So we can say, electrically, is everything working, or do we see an electrical abnormality? We do that lipid profile. Again, we do the complete lipid profile because, as we just mentioned, mm-hmm. we want to see, do you have that low HDL? Do you have a high LDL? Mm-hmm. What about the triglyceride levels? Those are things that make a difference, and so we want to understand that. And then finally, there is a simple scan, like a chest X-ray. So when we do the calcium score, we will get a number, and that number can denote what your risk is for having a future event. If you are high risk, then we can take steps then to help prevent that event from occurring in you in the future. Mm-hmm. And the neat thing is, once we find heart disease, we now have methods to reverse it. Okay. So we can make it go away. It's not a forever disease.
Wow.
And so this early detection also may lead to early reversal.
Wow.
Which is a cool thing.
That is cool. So what usually happens after a heart screening? If you turn up heart disease of some kind, what's the next step?
When you come in for that evaluation, then it is looked at by two groups of physicians. Primarily, a cardiologist will review your EKG. They will review the calcium score itself of the heart. They will look at your lipid profile. And with that, we will give you some feedback. Mm-hmm. Hey, there are abnormalities and you need to see a cardiologist about. Mm-hmm. There are abnormalities that you need to see your primary care provider about. Or things look very good. In addition to that, we do have because we're taking a picture of the heart, we're taking a picture of the chest, we do have that picture of the chest reviewed by a radiologist. Mm-hmm. And then we have also found, through those scans, people may have cancers that they didn't know about, mm-hmm. you know, maybe large hiatal hernias that they didn't know mm-hmm. about, thoracic aortic aneurysms they did not know about. And so that early detection of a heart problem may be, hey, we just found breast cancer, or we
wow.
just found lung cancer, or we found that you have a small aneurysm that you didn't know about, mm-hmm. or look, you got a large hiatal hernia, that's going to cause you to have some problems. And we've even picked up thyroid nodules and thyroid cancer on
wow.
some individuals. And so it can be beneficial even from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So who needs a heart screening?
Well, if you live in Mississippi, probably everybody. But honestly, I think that if you are above the age of 35 mm-hmm. in our state, it would be a great idea to get this done.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And part of that is that we do see a lot of premature heart disease.
Okay.
I was talking with someone actually this past week, and they were in their 20s, and they were concerned about heart disease. And I said, if you knew how many 20-year-olds or 25-year-olds that I've put stents in
my
career living here, you would be amazed. And so we do see this early heart disease. So the earlier you detect problems in the modification that you make, that's a bigger impact down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I'm discouraging 80-year-olds from getting evaluated,
sure.
but the point is that if you're 80 and I find a problem, the benefit of my therapy will be a lot less in your lifetime
mm-hmm.
than if I pick it up in a 35-year-old. The minor changes that I make when you're 35 will have a huge benefit over time.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout your lifetime, the next 60 years that you're alive, that little change that I make when you're 35 will pay off huge dividends in the future.
Wow. Okay. So do people need a referral for a heart screening, or can they call and make an appointment?
There is no referral necessary.
Great.
You can just call our office and make an appointment, and it is a very quick process. While we say that you can get the three tests in 30 minutes, it is often a lot less than 30 minutes.
Yeah, I've heard that from friends that have had it.
So I think it really important for all the mamas out there to encourage your husband, your children, your brothers, you know, maybe even your sisters, mm-hmm. to get this evaluation done. It can be very meaningful when we're talking about the magnitude of the benefit that can be realized by this.
Great. Thank you. So we could practically do a whole nother podcast episode on our next topic, but I just want you to touch on it. You know, Dr. Bartolet, you and your team in North Mississippi Health Services have brought so many firsts to our area in cardiovascular care. Can you just touch on that a little bit? Talk about which of those things you're most proud of, and then even what you see coming in the near future.
Yeah, we have been blessed to be part of research programs where we have the opportunity to be first in nation and oftentimes even first in world to do things. And part of our driving motivation to participate in some of this cutting edge research is the patients. Mm-hmm. So what happens when we bring this technology to North Mississippi is that our patients get access to this very first. They get the benefit of that. I think back 20 years ago, we were implanting these devices called biventricular pacemakers. Nobody had even heard of those, but we were putting them in and we were demonstrating that people that had heart failure, their heart failure could be reversed by placing this pacemaker device.
Wow.
And so now you fast forward, that's the standard of care.
Mm-hmm.
And so the nice thing is our patients got the benefit of that therapy early on, but also in these research programs, it is provided free of cost for them. Mm-hmm. So we're providing cutting edge, high tech medicines and or devices and or procedures that really can benefit Mississippians, and we're doing it at little to no cost to them.
Wow.
Which I think that's really the win.
Absolutely.
And so that we're able to, you know, bring that kind of care to a rural state mm-hmm. where our, you know, median income is not that high compared mm-hmm. to other states. And so we are, you know, an economically disadvantaged state, mm-hmm. and being able to bring that to our people is where I think that we get the biggest win.
Absolutely. You know, I've been working in marketing for this system for about 17 years, and I've been really lucky to see some of these first. And I always find it interesting. I'll see a news story or a post from another organization outside our state about a new technology that they're doing. And often my thought is, I think our team's been doing that for a few years. You know, that's kind of standard here now. We've been doing that for a long time. So it's really exciting for our patients and for our community.
Yeah, it's and I'll give you another story with that. One of our cath lab nurses is now a travel nurse, and so she's been assigned in Washington State.
Okay.
In a fairly large city, mm-hmm. in a large hospital cath lab out there. Mm-hmm. And they are now doing a procedure out there, and they're telling, oh, this is something new for Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing it here for over 5 years.
Wow.
And so Tupelo, Mississippi, mm-hmm. is, you know, doing something before a large city mm-hmm. in a large populous state
right.
is able to do. And so I do think that that speaks to the advantage of mm-hmm. bringing this cutting edge research to our area.
And to circle back to what we talked about at the beginning, that's so important for our community because of the huge amounts of heart disease here. Thank you, Dr. Bartolet, for sharing your expertise with us today and for sharing your time with us. To our audience, thank you for listening. Maybe today's the day that you call and make that appointment for a heart screening or encourage one of your loved ones to make that appointment. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our last episode of Small Steps for Better Health. If you've been following along, I hope you're seeing some improvements in your health. And if not, you can start at any time. Follow us on social media for more. Sign up for our e-newsletter. I'll put all those links in the show notes. We'll also put in the show notes the phone number and the link to where you can sign up for a heart screening to make it easy for you. Thank you again for your time, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.